Also, you can add your kids. This is turning into a tech tip podcast with two old ladies.
Tech tips with grandma.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
Bean, today we're going to talk about worrying about oncoming disappointment and the other shoe dropping and our relationship to disappointment. Are you excited or disappointed?
I'm disappointed. I was looking for some fun time. Bean.
Hi.
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 Let's just do that all episode.
Oh. Hi. And then at the end, we always go, bye. Yeah, we'll just like, hi, until the bye. Bean.
What's up?
No. It's my turn. What's up?
Oh.
What's up, Bean?
I'm pretty good. I had a good week. Ooh. What do I have to tell you? I will say that I was sick a little. That wasn't so fun. But I did get to just like cuddle in bed. And then my youngest one kind of just, I think, missed hanging out with me, which is awesome because he's a 13-year-old boy. So he came and got in bed but had his back to me. He's like, don't breathe on me. And then we watched Young Sheldon, which
How's
was
that?
So lovely. It's, oh my God, it ended and it's sad.
Spoiler. Oh, I didn't watch it. Did you watch Big Bang Theory?
No, but we do. But it's also, it's different. Like, it is a very different show, Young Sheldon and Big Bang Theory.
Interesting.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's actually something really great to watch if you have kids that are, like, between the ages of, like, 8 and 15.
Wow. You won't be disappointed. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I didn't have many disappointments in my life this week. My cringe is that I was driving Raina to school today and her hair was fabulous and curly and fluffy. And I said, Raina, your hair looks so good. And she goes, Mom, it's really hard to believe that compliment from you when you straighten your hair all the time.
Oh, shit. You got dissed, right? Girl. But she's totally kind of right. I'm sorry.
She's totally right.
Yeah. So what are we something do? About that? I'm very
And I said, I know I'm not a credible source of this compliment, but your hair is fabulous. What do you want from me? I think it looks better on you than it does on me. And she's like, I think yours looks better on you. So take that.
Wow.
And then I said, bye, have a great day. And she left.
That sounds like a really beautiful morning.
That was my morning.
Some fun times you and your daughter spent together before school.
Oh, you want to know a fun time I spent with my daughter? I sent you a video 2 nights ago. She's getting her learner's permit. I took her to a parking lot and this kid drove. Around the parking lot.
I showed Corey and I showed my husband and he goes, but she's just a baby. Because that's all we can think of her as. She was a baby at our wedding. She had just been born. So it's like hard to see her behind a vehicle.
She was in a vehicle. She was driving it and she was like, Mom, stop grabbing the side of the door every time I make a turn. It makes me feel embarrassed. I was like, I am managing my anxiety so much better than you could even imagine. Please. Like if
Truth
I grab
talk?
The door every once in a while, please.
My mother wouldn't get in the car with me when I was learning to drive. Only my father.
I get
she
that.
She couldn't. Even in the car now, I'll see my mom pushing the brake on the passenger floor, you know, the fake brake. And I'm like, Mom,
it's
I got
totally...
it. I got this from me. You know
Mom,
what?
I've been
I'm
doing
almost
this
42.
For a while.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a, it is a real crazy mind fuck of an experience when your child is driving your car. I will say I didn't really fully... expect. I thought I was going to start crying.
Yeah. I have to be honest. I now let Evie sit up front, which I didn't do for so long. And even that is a real mind fuck. It's
okay,
like, you're my baby.
That's crazy. She's 13.
Yeah. But I'm like, get in
How
the
long
back.
Did you ever in a fucking booster seat back there or what?
Get in your booster in the back. No, I don't know. She kept pushing. She's my first. So I'm always like nervous about it. But now she's like a full size human. And I let her in
she's
the front.
A full teenager.
And I'm always like, yeah, I like look over and she's DJing. And I'm like, what? What is this? So I can't even imagine if she was in the driver's seat and I looked at her.
You better imagine. You got 2 years.
I can't. I won't be disappointed.
All right. Well, how was your week? What's any house projects that you feel delighted about? Oh, okay.
No, my
weather,
house projects
weather,
was all my
house projects.
The weather's actually been really shitty for May. May is usually our best month out here.
It was raining when I was there.
It's still like overcast and shitty. It's like, what is going on? And in fact, that leads me to my cringe.
Shocking.
It's not weather related, but sort of somewhere in there is some weather sentiment. Corey has COVID, as does, did we just find
Sorry,
out, my
Corey.
Sister, as do my in-laws,
oh, shit.
As do all the friends. I think perhaps my bas mitzvah was a super spreader event, unfortunately.
Great.
And
congrats.
Two,
It's like, why are we having COVID? I know someone who just had the flu a couple weeks ago. It's May. It's May.
Oh, I thought you were like, why are we, it's so 2020. Why are we having COVID?
No, it's not 2020. It's like, I don't mind being sick. Like, it happens, but keep it, save it for the winter.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, agreed. Being sick in the spring is like, what? It's May. Your it's germs don't exist in the sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what?
What?
It's not sunny. Oh my God, I just figured it out.
Oh my God. Is that why everyone's sick?
Yes, because it feels like it's not spring. So everyone's heads are like, time to get sick.
Have you ever had a cold in the summer? It's the worst.
No.
Oh,
no, because you don't
worst.
Get sick in the sun.
Yes,
we
you
did
do.
Have COVID. We did have COVID during the summer one time, but that was like when COVID was rampant. So it made sense. This
but
doesn't make
your
sense.
Your brain can't understand it because it's hot outside, but you're stuffed up and.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my cringe is why does everyone have the vid? Also, allergies have been so bad. How boring is this? Allergies have been so bad. And everyone's been like lately, the past 2-3 weeks, like my allergies are horrible this year. I'm exhausted. And now I'm thinking it's the vid.
It's the vid.
And people just aren't testing because they think it's allergies. Allergies.
Wow. If you don't test it, you don't got it.
We're going to get like hate mail right now.
Totally. I'm kidding, everyone. I believe in testing and vaccinations. Well, with that, let's talk about, since you're so disappointed.
Disappointed. Oh, what a transition. I think we should make one episode of all of our killer transitions that are really bad.
Yeah, killer meaning AKA horrible.
Oh, what's I will tell happening? You another delight.
What's going
on? We have new neighbors who just moved in right behind us, and they have the cutest one-year-old, and he's in the grass crawling around in my backyard. Like, we share the yard, you know, separated by a fence.
Yes.
But I'm upstairs and can see him. Oh, he's reaching for his mama. Aww. Anyway, that's very good? Delightful.
Let us know when you got it together.
I got it
Maybe
together.
Maybe stop looking out the window while I'm talking to you.
Sorry,
that might
you're
help
so
you stay
boring.
Focused.
It's disappointing how boring you are.
Well, I'll try to be less boring, but I did want to. Okay. So let's talk about why we wanted to do this episode.
Okay.
I had this epic somatic coaching session. Ooh. So I have a somatic coach. Shout out Wendy Haynes. She's phenomenal. Somatics is about where trauma or difficult experiences get trapped in your body and how your body holds on to those difficult experiences and tries to inform your current life through survival strategies that no longer serve you. And I've been working with her for a couple of years now. She's really helped me a lot with my anxiety, as did my psilocybin journey. And
shout out
mushrooms. I had this session with Wendy last week and I immediately called Bean. Did I immediately call you or I don't know. It was maybe
I was gonna go with it, but no.
No, I didn't. But a couple days after we were talking about this session, I said I had the most incredible breakthrough around my relationship to disappointment. And when I shared it with you were like, oh, I think this is actually relatable. I think a lot of people, you know, have this relationship. So Wendy and I were talking about why sometimes I can feel so anxious or why I can sometimes get so down. And we got to this place where I realized I have this addiction, which I think a lot of people do, in worrying about what might disappoint me in the future.
Yes.
Right? Or this other shoe is going to drop concept that I think a lot of us deal with. And when we dug into it, what I realized is that disappointment or worrying about disappointment was really the core of what suffering was for me my whole life, was this idea that I was going to be in want of something that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Right. And we got to this place in the session. It was actually really interesting that really my relationship to disappointment was being raised in a house where other people were very silently disappointed all the time,
right,
and didn't talk about it. And me picking up on the idea that, oh, life is disappointing. Like, you're going to want things that you don't get. And so she actually had me write about it. Do you want me to read the little thing I wrote? It's a little, it's private.
If you're comfortable, I would very much welcome that. Okay. And I won't
I'm just
be
gonna
disappointed.
Read- I'm going to read the first paragraph. I promise this is going to relate to helping all of you listeners. She asked me to go write about disappointment. So I wrote on disappointment. When I was young, disappointment was like a ghost. No one spoke of it, but we all knew it was lurking. My mom, disappointed in not being loved by my dad. my dad disappointed that all his ventures were so hard and stressful and sometimes unsuccessful, my sister disappointed in both of them, and more. Me feeling the disappointment, hearing about it through jokes that were shared passively, never fully understanding how deeply it was affecting everyone. Wow. So it really feels like this idea of like disappointment for me was genuinely like this thing that was just lurking in the shadows that I could sense, but I wasn't quite sure what was going on. And as I'm processing all of this with Wendy, I'm realizing, oh, people in my life who I loved were genuinely disappointed with where life had brought them in that moment when I was sensing their disappointment, right? Like, right. You know, my mom left her home country to have this magical life with this man she loved, who then in turn was like, nah, just joking. I'm not going to really be here for you.
I'm laughing because I don't know what else to say.
My dad left his home country because he was going to do all of these things that I think, you know, he had great ideas. He's super talented. He's an executive chef. He has this way with food, but just his desire for more, you know, it never really matched what was real in that moment. And so I have this idea in my head that life is going to be disappointing, not because my life has been disappointing, but because I witnessed so much unspoken disappointment. That was my breakthrough.
That's really beautiful. I love that. Although, counter, guess what? I'm going to say something that's counter to what you said.
Oh, great. Counter my childhood experiences and breakthroughs, please.
No. I also have a very similar relationship with disappointment, but I don't have that. You know what I mean? But I do. It's like operating from a fearful place a lot, always waiting for the other shoe to drop, always feeling like, you know, everything's such a phase that even if it's great, it won't last. It can't last.
Yeah.
Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah. I read somewhere that it's like practicing our negative feelings, our future negative feelings. Worrying about being disappointed in the future is practicing your negative feelings to prepare for them. And actually, there's this research study that I came across. It was this paper in the Journal of Emotion, FYI.
Oh, I got to read that.
That it was called The Costs and Benefits of Negative Expectations. And researchers were looking at this idea of practicing future worries. And they found that students who predicted getting a poor grade on an exam felt bad for days before receiving their results. Worse, their stressing did not diminish the disappointment they felt once they got their scores. So this idea that like if we just worry enough and feel the negative feelings beforehand, somehow they won't feel so bad when they show up is in fact not true. They feel just as bad.
I too found something that's inspirational. This is similar to shout out a few episodes back when I told you I write out whenever I hear something that feels really meaningful to me, a quote, a sentence, three words, I write them down. I have this like running list in my notes. And one of them was worry takes your strength.
Yes.
Don't you love that?
Yes, it does. True.
It takes like your perseverance and your ability to move forward and power through.
Yeah. The other thing I think sometimes a phenomenon that happens is that this idea of like, if we are experiencing joy, there's a part of our brain that's like, don't get so far into this because you're going to get really disappointed when the opposite of this feeling or experience happens in your life. Does that happen to you?
All the time. And I sure as shit hope that you're about to blow my mind on a way to not have this happen. Because I don't like it. I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm much more into the now is now. Like you're not even promised later. So you need to be with this joy right now, even if it's fleeting. Why not enjoy it?
Yeah.
But I still can't shake
that. So this is a common phenomenon, especially with driven people who care about, you know, creating more and more positive experiences in their lives. And so the University of California did a research study on this with a psychologist, Sonia, I'm not going to say her name right, Leo Bomrisky.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, I liked it.
But the research was about whether the robbing yourself of the present joy somehow then offsets the disappointment in the future. And what the research found is that taking yourself out of the moment to dread what might happen won't prepare you for disaster, and that the ability to experience positive emotions actually improves your ability to cope with distress when it does occur.
Oh, I kind of love that. It's like when you come to visit me and I'm always like the first day, I'm like, I don't want you to leave.
Yeah.
You're leaving in 2 days. And you're like, shut up.
But then you always say when I leave and I say this to you, like we both feel so full like weeks, at least a week afterwards. So like that positive experience buoyed you for whatever came after that. And that's what this study is about, is like, okay, so you're experiencing joy. And then you're worried, uh-oh, don't get too addicted to this feeling. No. Right. Your presence in that feeling is what's going to allow you to get through the harder times.
Of disappointment. Yeah, totally. That's a great example.
What's your relationship with disappointment, Bean? Tell me about, like, when you think about worrying about being disappointed, what do you worry is going to disappoint you? Or do you?
I worry mostly about people I care about disappointing me.
Mm-hmm. Because, and what does it mean? Like, if people who you care about disappoint you, what does that mean to you?
Kind of, I feel like it's sort of piggybacking on last week's episode about trust. Go listen to it. Check out our YouTube. I feel like not showing up for me in the way that I was hoping and or asked for and or the way I show up for you. That's what disappointment is to me. And expecting, I guess, not having expectations meet when I feel like my expectations are reasonable.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So do you find yourself worrying about that happening in the future?
Yes. Yes. And the other shoe to drop. I'm a big, this joy cannot last. I'm very big into that. Like, this is going too well. Something's got to give. I definitely struggle with that.
Yeah. And do you find that when that shoe drops, it's as bad as you expected?
It never is. But now that you say it, I kind of wonder, I guess I'm wrong, but now I kind of wonder if all of my worry cushioned my fall a little. Mm. It was like, you knew this was coming anyway. So I guess it's also about not being disappointed in yourself, like fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me kind of thing. You know what I mean? Not being disappointed in myself for not seeing it more clearly.
Yeah. I think that's the false construct that we all operate in that's robbing us from joy and from living in the present moment, is this notion that we're practicing the negative experience. Like if we just keep practicing it, when it shows up, it will be less difficult. Like that research study said with those students, like they felt bad about the bad grade before the grade and after the grade. And the kids who weren't worrying about it felt just as bad after the grade, right? Like it doesn't make the disappointment any less painful. However, this is what I find in my experience and you know, with the dozens of people that I have the opportunity to coach, is like when you do eventually get disappointed, that experience is so much less devastating than your worry self was projecting it was going to be.
Yes, usually, yes.
Like, it's like you find a way and life finds a way to buoy you, to give you other things, other opportunities come in or other things to focus on, kind of really help you in those moments not feel so devastated around the one thing you thought you'd be disappointed over. Like, have you ever had something that you're so focused on as a goal? It's got to be this. It's got to be this. It's got to be this.
I'm not disappointed.
Right. Well, I was going to say, and then it, like, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
It's got to happen for you to feel happy. And then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything like that?
Yes. Lots of things. I mean, throughout my whole life.
Don't you find that when the thing doesn't happen, either something else has come along and distracted you enough that you're not as devastated by that thing, or it didn't happen and it's less painful than you expected?
I mean, here's like an example that's not that great.
Give it.
But still,
give it to us.
I'm thinking my girls are 3 years and I don't know, 5 months apart or something. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted my kids to be 2.5 years. It was like what I had my mindset on all the time, mm-hmm. all the time. And every month that went by that I wasn't getting pregnant, I was more and more upset. Mm-hmm. And it kept being like, this is not going any of the way that I planned. I'm so devastated and everything. But then I got my Layla, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to myself all the time, I agonized that I wasn't pregnant, mm-hmm. but like, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have been her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm so fulfilled by her that I can't imagine it being any other way.
Yeah, totally. That's that's
is that aligned with what we were saying?
That's exactly right. Like, okay. No, that not right or wrong, but like,
right.
I so relate to what you're saying because what I live by and try to teach is divine timing and things, you know, you co-create with the universe. You absolutely have to be the one that sets the vision. You have to follow your desires and you have to trust the timing of things and you have to trust what's coming in, which I think if you really, really learn to live that way, your relationship to disappointment changes dramatically.
I would love to live that way. We were just having a conversation prior to this about, and it was both of us not living this way. It was a lot of what ifs, what ifs, what ifs.
Yeah.
I would like to. Can you instruct us and guide us how to get to that place, please, wizard?
Of how to live without focusing so much on disappointment. I mean, I thought it was important to share my experience of me working with a somatic coach so that everyone understands.
Oh,
like,
yeah, totally.
I teach this stuff and I don't even, you know, like there's no way I'm even close to mastering it because I think it's so much a part of the human condition. We are so conditioned to worry. But I think that, you know, there's four things that I really want to talk about if you do feel like you focus on future disappointments to prepare yourself for them that will help you.
And I just thought of one.
Yeah. Oh, go.
Should I go first?
Yes.
It's actually was taught to me by you. And it's something that I'm trying to utilize with my children a lot more is with the what ifs, like what if it goes really badly? You have taught me that that's on a spectrum. And what if it's the other direction? What if it goes beautifully? Like imagine that. It could go badly, but it could also go really well. So why are we going to spend our time wondering and we just have to let it play out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of coming from fear, come from love and positivity.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Well, it really is related to the first thing I was going to share, which is what you focus on grows.
Right.
If you look at your life like a scale and you have things in your life that are disappointing and you put them on one side of the scale and then you laser focus on all of those things all of the time, the weight of that scale grows.
Right.
It becomes heavier because your focus, your energy is directed towards, I'm not living in the house I want. The job that I thought was going to be this didn't work out that way. My husband isn't the way that I thought he was going to be. Whatever it is, it becomes so monumentally a part of your focus that its weight in your energetic scale is grander. It's bigger because you are putting the weight there. If on the other hand, you focus on the other side of that scale, what is working in your life right now? I have this really amazing friend and author, Tara Schuster. She wrote the book, Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies. And she talks about journaling as a practice, a ritual for her in her own mental health journey. And one of the things that she talks about is this like spot the win exercise she does, where at the end of the day, she just sits down and she writes 3 to 5 wins that day, just to train her brain to focus on what went well today. What was the win? So I'm going to just say for Tara, use that exercise because it really helps build the other side of the scale. Where are the things in your life that are going well? Where are they? How do you identify them? Plot them on the scale. And then just be honest, how much of your focus is going towards that, towards the things that go well?
I'm going to do that a little. I don't know if I could come up with 3 to 5 because I am a little negative and disappointed.
All right, let's do it right now. 3 to 5 things that are going well in your life.
Right now?
Yep.
I am increasing my workload coming up and I've been thinking about, I want to fill my time more with work. Okay. And now I will be shortly for various reasons filling my time more with work. So that feels like a win. Are we talking specifically today or just in general with life?
Whatever. Whatever feels like a win.
That feels like a win. Still on the bat mitzvah high, that felt like a massive win because I was like, holy shit, I have so much love in my life. And that feels like the biggest win I could possibly have. I have so many wonderful people who support me. What else is a win? I don't know. See, I'm already stuck. It's 2 and I'm already stuck.
Yeah. But if I asked you to list all the things that aren't working, how quickly could those come out of your mouth?
Very quickly.
So it's just our training. Damn it. Our training is to focus on the things that don't work. And it's going to take practice. It's like building a muscle to focus on the things that do work.
And I'm not going to be disappointed in my – how about this? I'm not going to be disappointed in myself that I can only come up with 2. I'm going to say that's my intro into this new mentality of trying to focus on the wins. Is that good? Right now I only have two, but that doesn't mean I won't have seven by tomorrow.
Yes. Good. Namaste. Really good way of demonstrating grace with yourself. And it's a practice for sure. Thank you. Second tool, and you know, people say this, but how the hell do you do it? Really trying to stay in the present moment.
Yes.
You know, practicing future worries is about taking your brain to a place that does not exist. It's existing in an illusion. In fact, suffering is existing in the past or in the future. But if you exist in the present, more often than not, there's very little suffering in the present. Sometimes there is a lot of suffering in the present. And sometimes focusing on the past or the future in those moments to survive that suffering absolutely makes sense. But if I'm talking to you right now and you don't have a great deal of suffering in your present moment, like I'm talking right now as you're listening to this podcast, where are you? Are you taking a walk? Are you doing something? Are you driving? You know, in this present moment, is there suffering? Learning to train our brains to just, I do this 100 times throughout the day, is just like, stop. What is happening right now? Right now. Yes, you're worried about, oh, I only have three. My biggest thing right now that I wake up in terror, I only have 3 more years with my daughter in my house. I am like on a countdown clock that is devastating.
Me too.
And stupid, because it's robbing me of the time that she's here. And I have to stop myself and be like, no, where is she right now? And what are you going to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is happening in this moment? So staying in the present is a really important tool to practice. Again, this is a practice that is going to help you bring you back to, wait a minute, the thing that I'm practicing worrying about isn't even real. It's an illusion. I've made it up.
Also, I'd like to say that it's very challenging in this day and age, I think, to be very present because we constantly have our telephones on us. And
yes.
We are constantly checking out and we are constantly checking into other things. And I think that allows us to be so much less present than we could be. Totally myself included. It's a goal of mine to really get down on my phone. And then that in turn causes anxiety because we're not present and we're totally distracted and we're worried about that and this and that. And we're looking at our phones and we get the email and we're not looking at our child who we're playing with on the floor, or we're not, you know, listening to our partner about their day at work or.
Yeah. It's so true. I've been doing this thing where I just put my phone on Do Not Disturb and then sort of forget that it's on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, I love that.
Which has been really peaceful.
The Jew in me has trouble with it because I'm always like, what if somebody needs me for an
emergency? Something bad is going to happen. I know. But you know what? TJ reminded me. He's like, if people call you twice, it rings.
Oh,
like if it's an emergency, it will break through the Do Not Disturb.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. Oh.
Yeah. Because I would keep mine off of Do Not Disturb when my kids do not sleep in this house. I co-parent with their dad. So on the every other weekend that they're with him, I leave the phone off of Do Not Disturb while I'm sleeping. But then all of the East Coast people, if they start texting or calling, it's like 5 a.m. for us.
Sorry.
And so he had to remind me, you know, if it's an emergency. Also, you can add your kids. This is turning into a tech tip podcast with two old ladies.
Tech tips with grandma.
You can add your kids to a list that bypasses Do Not Disturb. Or your mom or your whoever.
Interesting. Fascinating.
A tutorial later.
Interesting. Please do. Thank you. Except my kid calls me, but my kid calls me like 45 times a day when she's not with me. I'll be like, Evie, is this an emergency?
Anyway. Yeah. That's why I've learned. I used to leave my phone on my desk when I was doing sessions. And if it were Rain or Akion, I'd answer. And after a while of like embarrassingly being like, sorry, stop crying, person. I need to pick up the phone because my kid's calling in the middle of the day. And then Rain would be like, Mom, what's the plan after school?
Yeah.
Are we going to State Street?
Yeah.
And it's like, So I have learned that most of the time it's not an emergency. Okay. Here's the last one.
Yes.
I call it taking the edge out of disappointment.
Oh, wow.
It's the thing I was asking you earlier in the show, which is when the disappointment happens, how bad has it really been? So looking to the past for evidence around when have I been really devastated by disappointment? How often? Maybe once or twice. But is it as often as you're expecting? Is it as often as you're worrying about? Or when the thing happens that you are disappointed in? Does that disappointment feel so bad? Does it feel as bad as you worried about?
Also, I think we're all forgetting that we grow often the most during disappointment. Absolutely. Or challenging times or what have you. So maybe we should, and that's a lesson I try to impart on my kids. Every time something doesn't go their way, it's like, well, what did you take away from this? Even though it was shitty, you learned something here.
Yeah. It's hard. I will say it's hard to be in that headspace when you put your heart and soul in something. Totally. Like I'm in that, the worry about disappointment thing right now is all around my book and my book coming out in March. And, you know, I've spent 2 years of my life pouring my heart into this book.
Yeah.
And if people don't read it or if they read it and they hate it, that will be disappointing.
Like
absolutely
really disappointing. I feel
really,
like.
Really disappointing.
So go and buy the book.
But not yet. But worrying about it is really robbing me of this moment of potential excitement prior to the launch. And also worrying about disappointment can be so draining that it's making my creativity, my desire to think of new ways to share the message, my desire to back the thing when it finally launches, it's going to eat away at that because that worry is so exhausting. So I also think like, what is the cost benefit analysis here of the energy you're putting into practicing future worry? Is it draining you of your energy, which is going to make it harder to make the thing that you're trying to make a success because you don't have your all to put into it?
And I feel like across the board, people are going to be like, it's true. Like, why did I spend all this time being disappointed when either I was going to be disappointed anyway and it doesn't shift anything, or what I worried about this whole time didn't even happen?
Yeah. So those are your three tools. One, look at your scale, what you focus on grows, where are you focusing on the things that are working in your life? Two, how are you trying to stay present? Even just if you can in the moment, just stop yourself once a day and be like, what's happening right now? Where am I standing right now? What am I doing in this moment? And then third, looking for evidence from past disappointments. Were they as disastrous as you worried they were going to be?
I feel like I don't even need to do my takeaway.
You don't have a takeaway? Okay. Instead of a takeaway,
okay,
let's both make a commitment. What are you committing to around this practice of worrying about the other shoe that's going to drop?
Focusing. I'm going to do that Tara. What was her last name?
Tara Schuster. Spot the win.
Tara Schuster. Spot the win. I'm going to try to start spotting the wins. I was journaling very slightly. A healer I worked with told me it was important for me to do, and I stuck with it for a while and then I stopped, and I've been feeling this draw back towards it again to do something comparable.
Yeah.
And this is going to be my thing, is I'm going to start writing down small wins every day. I'm not going to have to put a number on it. I don't need to write 3 to 7 or 5 to 8, whatever. I'm just going to say anything that went well this day goes here. You?
Beautiful.
Thanks.
I'm going to really keep focusing on the present, bringing myself back to present, really like in this moment, what's working right now, and focusing on that.
And we'll both grow from there.
And we'll both grow. Bean, as always, this is so nice to just spend Friday mornings doing this with you. Wednesdays for you guys, but we record on Fridays.
Fridays for us.
If you want to support the show, pretty please.
We so want you to. We love doing this. We really do love doing it, don't we?
We love it. We want it to grow. We need your help. So please share this with people and just help us grow this podcast, because the more that we can grow it, the more that we can devote ourselves to doing it and hopefully being helpful to each of your journeys towards your truth and actualizing yourself. So thank you in advance. For those of you that listen all the time, we really love and appreciate you.
Really, from our hearts, truly.
Thank you, thank you. And we will see you next week with another episode. Bye, Bean.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Thekadet, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.